And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Yesterday, first-degree manslaughter charges were filed against Tulsa, Oklahoma police officer Betty Shelby for the fatal shooting of an unarmed black man named Terrence Crutcher last week. Shelby, who is white, shot Crutcher after responding to a call about an abandoned vehicle blocking the road. Crutcher's family says he was having car trouble and waiting for help. Officer Shelby contends that Crutcher refused to obey commands. Video footage shows him walking away from officers with his hands up moments before he was shot in the chest. And in Charlotte, North Carolina, a third night of protests ended peacefully after violence erupted on Tuesday and Wednesday following the fatal shooting of an African-American man named Keith Lamont Scott by city police officer Brentley Vinson, who is also African-American. Police say Scott had a gun. His family believes he did not. Dashcam video of the incident has not been released to the public, but the family who saw it yesterday afternoon and the chief of police in Charlotte, Kerr Putney, both agree that the video does not definitively show Mr. Scott holding or pointing a gun. So we'll begin today with an update from both Tulsa and Charlotte. Corey Jones is a staff writer for the Tulsa World newspaper. Gwendolyn Gwen is a reporter for NPR member station WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
And Gwendolyn, let's start with you. Let's talk about first the pressure that Chief of Police Putney is under to release the video. He said this morning, I guess, that he would release it if there is compelling information. He said, if that's the case, we'll show it. What does he mean by that, and what do you expect to happen?
Well, at this point, they just held a press conference, and that is pretty much moot. And because the case has now been taken over by the State Bureau of Investigation, and according to Chief Putney, this was the last time that he was going to be able to release any information. From here on out, it will be a State Bureau of Investigation case, and they will decide what is released, when, and whether or not that video is being released that protesters and the family have called to be released.
So it is out of his hands, then, in terms of a decision on that?
Yes, and it's interesting, now that it is out of his hands, he was pretty adamant in other press conferences that he did not feel compelled to release the video, that he only felt compelled to let the family view the video. But in the press conference that was just held a few minutes ago, he seemed to have changed his tone a little bit now that it is out of the city's hands. He said that he seemed to hint that there was information he was going to release, but now he can't release anything, and he said that they go through a process and he wanted to gather more information, not hurt the integrity of the case, and that he, at this point, his hands are tied because it's no longer in his court.
What's the significance of the fact that the mayor of Charlotte is now supporting the release of the video?
Well, she also came out with a different tone than from what she earlier had said. She said that, I've been convinced that, you know, you need more information to protect the integrity of the case and to get the accounts of witnesses before releasing it. Earlier, she had said she was calling for transparency. Last night, she was saying she was leaning toward transparency. And then this morning, she said she's been convinced that you need more information. So they both have kind of taken a different tone than from what they did earlier. She initially had not seen the tape. I think yesterday was the first time that she actually saw the two videos that they have that they showed to the family.
One of the protesters, a young man, 26-year-old man named Justin Carr, was killed. He died a day or two after he was shot. And I understand police have charged someone in that case. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, he was standing in front of the Omni Hotel during the protest when it had gotten very chaotic, where tear gas was being fired at protesters and police were lined up in front of the hotel and other parts of the city. And it was not clear what exactly happened. And during a press conference yesterday, Chief Putney had said that he was going to look at video from that particular location more closely, because there had been allegations that it was not a citizen who had shot this 26-year-old young man, that it was a police officer. And there were lots of rumors swirling around this. So he said he was going to take a closer look. And then today at the press conference a few minutes ago, he announced that about 7 a.m. they had arrested a suspect.
His name is Raekwon Boerum, and he has been charged in the death of Justin Carr. The medical examiner also released a report. What did that say?
I have not seen the medical examiner's report. They have been not releasing a lot of information. And that was one thing that was mentioned to the chief, that reporters and everybody are making calls and we are not being able to get information and getting call back. So he said that he would be looking into that closely. So it has been a little frustrating trying to get information, but I have not seen the medical examiner's report.
Okay. As I understand it, they did identify the cause of death as homicide, but which is, you know, not unexpected, given that, there was a gun involved. Just in general, as we finish up here, Gwendolyn, what's the mood today as opposed to last night and the night before?
Well, I would say that it's kind of like a wait and see what happens later tonight. There are several peaceful, as they are describing them, protests or demonstrations, gatherings that are going to take place, one at a community college here, Johnson C. Smith University, held a gathering last night. And I would say that people are kind of have a wait-and-see attitude. The curfew is still on. Businesses such as even some of the banks, you know, this is a large banking city, and some of them are even closed today. But one of the museums here is open, and they say they are specifically open because they want people to come in and talk about what's going on. And you have downtown more of a police presence. You don't see as many people downtown, but I've been downtown, and I didn't see during the day anything that would be threatening or that people should feel unsafe walking down there.
Gwendolyn Gwen is my former colleague here at WYPR. She was our education reporter for a few years. She's now with member station WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina. Gwendolyn, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And now we're joined from Tulsa, Oklahoma, by Corey Jones. He's a staff writer for the Tulsa World. Mr. Jones, welcome. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So tell us what the mood is in Tulsa. It's a very different situation in Tulsa than in Charlotte, is it not?
It is very different. Everything from what we've seen has been pretty much peaceful. We had a similar incident happen about a year and a half ago with a deputy who shot an unarmed black man in the streets, and that remained peaceful throughout, and we expect it to continue that way here.
Now, I understand that Officer Betty Shelby, who has been charged with manslaughter, has turned herself into authorities. So the fact that she has been indicted, what is the next step in that process? It doesn't automatically mean she will go directly to trial, right?
No. There will be arraignments and a preliminary hearing before we go that far. I spoke with her defense attorney this morning, and right now they're deciding who's going to go forth with representing her. Said he's had offers for assistance from all over the country to help in her defense. So there's still much more court stuff to come before it actually goes to a trial.
Can you ascertain whether or not the fact that she has been charged has done anything one way or the other to change the mood of the town, to change people's general perception of whatever level of tension might exist?
It's kind of interesting. There's a couple different groups of folks out demonstrating yesterday after the announcement. Some were pleased with the charge. Others were not very happy with it. They thought it should have been murder. Others were quite fine with manslaughter one being filed and being filed so quick before the police investigation was complete. So the mood still, obviously there's still outrage at the situation, but folks have been peaceful. And I don't know if yesterday's decision, you know, altered any of that significantly, because the demonstrations that were already planned are still continuing.
All right. Well, Corey Jones from the Tulsa World, I appreciate your time this morning, and we look forward to following your coverage of this very important story as it moves forward. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It appears that I have misspoken. The medical examiner report that I alluded to was declared shooting a homicide was in the Tulsa case, not the Charlotte case. So I apologize for that. Tulsa, not Charlotte, in terms of the medical examiner's report. By the way, closer to home here in Baltimore County, a 21-year-old man named Tawan Boyd died on Wednesday following a physical confrontation with the police on Sunday. And earlier this week, the Baltimore County State's Attorney announced prosecutors would not file charges against officers for the fatal shooting of a 23-year-old woman named Corinne Gaines in August. Gaines was shot after a seven-hour standoff with police in her apartment. Officers say she pointed her gun at them. Gaines's five-year-old son was shot in the cheek during that altercation. Her family has filed a wrongful death suit against Baltimore County and the police officer who shot her. We'll bring you more on both of these stories as details unfold. Coming up ahead of the opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington this weekend, we'll talk to Dr. Joanne Martin, the founder of the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum, and David Fakunle, a self-described servant of the city and fellow with the Baltimore City Health Department, about documenting the varied and sometimes painful African American experience. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.